Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Because I've been a football fan for a long, long time. I mean, I remember back when the Cowboys was good. I remember back when the Chiefs was bad. And I remember, what was it? Bill Belichick's girlfriend wasn't even born yet.
And stay down.
I remember when the Cowboys were good and the Chiefs were bad and Bill Belichick's girlfriend wasn't even born yet.
Oh,
damn.
My gosh. Look on Bill's face. The camera obviously immediately zooms in on him.
And her.
Was he mad?
He was just smiling, but you could tell behind those eyes.
Oh, simmer down.
I'm going to get you.
Wasn't that long ago.
Is this the first time they have stepped out as a couple in a very, very high-profile public way? I mean, they've been seen on sharing bicycles on Nantucket or, you know, whatever they do. But last
night,
I think
this was their first black
tie
appearance.
Last night, to show up in, you know, full black tie, he had to have known that this somebody was going to say something, right?
He's got her wearing a couple of his Super Bowl rings. I mean,
yeah, it's
simmered down.
It's something.
Was she even alive for the first one that he won?
No,
I think
probably
the answer
not.
Is no.
No, she's 24.
He was born in 1952. She was born after 2000.
It's love. She's in it for his looks and his personality. We all know that. I don't know why we're making fun of it. It's
she just
love.
Wants to wear those Belichick's girlfriend sweatshirts. Wasn't even born yet.
Oh, my God.
What'd you say, Dan?
Just wants to wear those sweatshirts with the cutoff arms.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good.
Can we just say she's a gold digger?
I am a champion of love. She wasn't wearing gold last night. She was wearing silver. She looked great.
Yeah.
Let's talk about those awards, because there are a couple of topics in the stack today regarding those very things.
Did Kelsey get the Walter Payton Award?
No. Correct, Dan?
He did not.
That gets announced, I think,
that's
Super Bowl Sunday.
That's the Super Bowl Sunday Award.
That's on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yes,
okay.
They hold that
two,
one.
Two different things. They've got the people's choice, if you will. People vote on all these Walter Payton Award nominees. And then there's the actual
award.
Walter Payton Award.
There was the Hall of Fame inductees last night. There was the MVP last night. We will get into the Hall of Fame coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Because if you were with us in the 5 o'clock hour yesterday, we interviewed Donna Pittman about a former Chiefs player named Jim Tyer, who played with the Chiefs for 14 seasons, 8 Pro Bowls, was a lock at the end of his career for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And it is thought, and Donna Pittman said this yesterday, that he was patient number one, patient zero.
Patient zero.
For CTE. Although he died in 1980 after murdering his wife, Martha, and then turning the gun on himself. And keep this in mind, and we didn't know this, Donna Pittman was telling us and I said 4 o'clock hour. I meant to say three. I'm sorry. Donna Pittman told us his head was so large that a normal helmet would not fit around his head. So what the team did, what he did, was take the pads out of his helmet.
They scooped it out.
And he basically wore just a plastic shell on his head as a lineman.
You know, he has long since died. He was cremated. Even if they wanted to go back and look at his brain, they could not. But we are going to talk about it. We did a little bit on this yesterday. It's a tough and slippery slope to go down when someone who did, by all accounts, live a beautiful life, Scott.
He was described as a gentle giant.
However, goes out in a violent way and murdered his wife. And his children have even said, his adult children who went on to thrive and live amazing, productive lives, that the man who did that at the very end was not the father we knew, was not the man that we knew. He had filled out a job application a few hours before the murder. And I was reading up on this documentary last night, Scott. In that job application that they got their hands on for the documentary, it's indecipherable. You can't even understand what he was writing on the job application. His brain was so bad. But it doesn't excuse what happened. He murdered a woman on his way out. And I just think if you're a voting member in the Hall of Fame.
But keep in mind what we were told yesterday. They are not supposed to take off-field
conduct
controversy into account when considering whether or not they are eligible for the Hall of Fame.
Which is why they're
supposed to be performance on the field.
Which is why they have never removed O.J. Simpson.
Yes, but God forbid if that scenario happened today. There is no way O.J. would be voted into the Hall of Fame.
And I think that's what happened with Jim Tyre.
He happened to be voted in before he murdered his wife and that poor man, Ron Goldman. So I think my guess is the committee thinks it's a slippery slope. If we let Jim Tyre in, by all accounts, he should be in for everything that was done on the field. Then the next time there is a great player, like who commits mass murder or does something just unspeakable, we would also have to only consider that person's on-field performance. And I just don't think we live in a world where that's possible.
But if that's the criteria, which Donna Pittman said yesterday it was, don't we have to hold true to the criteria? If we're going to judge...
I think when the criteria was set forth, they did not see what CTE would be and how it has affected... Okay, so Aaron Hernandez. How many people did Aaron Hernandez kill?
Probably four or five.
Yeah. Six that we know of? You sort of have to have rules about stuff like that, right?
Where do we draw the line? Obviously, murder is too far. But I mentioned yesterday, there's a number of active players that have done some horrifying things off the field.
Mm-hmm.
We still let them play. We still cheer them on Sunday.
I think one of them is one of our running backs.
It's just really, it makes me happy that I'm not on a committee like that because I understand what the rules say, but we also live in the real world where bad things happen. Yeah. And I think you have to, even subconsciously, you have to take that into consideration.
Somebody pointed out yesterday on the text line, well, what about Pete Rose? Arguably one of the greatest players in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And he has been banned. I think he's since passed last year, if I'm not mistaken. Pete Rose is banned from Major League Baseball. I would remind everyone that was part of a deal that Pete Rose struck with Major League Baseball was his exclusion, infinitum, from the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
I did not know that portion of it. I said to the texter yesterday, it's a little bit different when you're banished from the sport altogether.
Perhaps.
But he agreed to that deal.
Yeah. By the way, quick correction, the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award winner was announced last night. Jacksonville Jaguars defensive end Eric Armstead.
Oh, thank you.
Was named
I knew it was not Kelsey, but I thought it would. They were. I thought is the fan award different than the actual Walter Payton Award?
So the fan award, I believe, was announced a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And it is just however many retweets that you get on Twitter or X. And so I can't remember who won that popularity contest, but when it came down to the votes for the Walter Payton Man of the Year, Eric Armstead, Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's right, the Jaguars.
Well, good for him. I'm not entirely surprised. I think, you know, we've talked about for some reason, everyone has Chiefs fatigue. I don't understand it.
By the way, Shoeless Joe Jackson, part of the Black Sox scandal, is not in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. 913-586-7798. When we get back, we'll go to New Orleans. Bob Fesco from 96.5 The Fan joins us live in just a moment. Huh, this is an 80s song that I didn't put in the stack. Interesting. Very interesting. Big game coming up in about, if I'm doing my math correctly, 51 hours from right now. When the Chiefs meet the Eagles again in the Super Bowl. Strangely, it's not getting old around here. Let's go to New Orleans.
Bill Belichick's girlfriend wasn't even born yet.
Okay. Bob Fesco from 96.5 The Fan. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Scott. Sorry, I've been taking pictures with many a Chiefs fan out here on Bourbon Street. They love my sailor's cap.
I don't have to ask what's the vibe because we've all been to New Orleans. And then when you throw in the Super Bowl, I think it's probably something between the Waste Management Open and Vegas and Miami would be my guess.
Yeah, probably something similar to that. I mean, I don't know if it's quite Waste Management Open yet. It's only Friday afternoon, Dana, you know, here in New Orleans. But, I mean, being on Bourbon Street and just seeing the crowds grow basically every single day to where we are right now, I can only imagine what it's going to be tomorrow night. And I've said this all week, and I've gotten some pushback by some, you know, important people in the NFL when I say this. This is the best Super Bowl city, and it's not even close. I love being in New Orleans. Everything's walkable. Everything's close. Everybody's together. And I think that's so important to have when you have it in these other big cities. You're driving all over the place and nobody's together. This is all centralized. Everybody's here. And, I mean, people are having themselves a time.
What are the teams doing? I'm assuming they are not on Bourbon Street this afternoon.
The Chiefs are probably in some sort of meeting room or something like that right now, getting ready for the game. I'm sure they had a walkthrough this afternoon. Their hotel is the Marriott on Canal Street. I'm actually staying for the next three nights in the Eagles team hotel, which is a little bit further removed from the Bourbon Street area. But the Chiefs, like, if you wanted to pick a central hotel to everything, the Kansas City Chiefs are right in the middle of that. And the crowds outside of the team hotel, they've got extra security outside the team hotel because so many fans just want to get up close and see these guys.
What, is there going from the hotel to the bus?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah, they're just hoping to see anybody. There's so much security here, you can't meander around the team hotel like you used to be able to back in the day. In fact, I don't think I've ever felt safer somewhere than I do right now in New Orleans. We've got armed army people on every street corner. Every street corner is blocked with tanks and army vehicles and blockades. They're doing bag checks for everybody to get on the Bourbon Street like it's the airport or a game. They have come out in full force with the security stuff.
Well, they were saying in the paper the other day, New Orleans will be the safest city in the world and definitely the United States come Sunday afternoon.
Well, there's no question. I mean, when you think about it, right, you've got the president of the United States, first sitting president ever to attend a Super Bowl, which I never knew before. That's wild.
I wouldn't have known that.
First of all, right? Exactly, right? So you've got the president of the United States, the most famous star in the world. You've got the two greatest quarterbacks that have ever played the game because Tom Brady's calling it, Patrick's playing it. You've got the greatest head coach. You've got a Hall of Fame tight end. You've got a Hall of Fame defensive tackle. And you have me all in one stadium. No wonder.
All right. That's enough.
So when do the, I mean, I know the players are always dialed in. They're always focused. Like, you get to have a little bit of fun. And I saw some video of a couple of them, like, hanging out on Bourbon Street, all of the things. But at what point are they locked down, dialed in, and it's football from here on out?
You know, I think probably Tuesday or Wednesday that kind of happened. Once the media started getting in town and they had their media veils and their practice time, Sunday and Monday was a little bit more kind of laid back, a little bit more relaxed. They could get out and do their things. But now as you get closer and closer to the game, and as you know, they even at home games, they stay in hotels and whatnot. So all these people are here. All these people are trying to get a look at the players, but they're not going to get a look at the players, you know, because I think pretty much for the most part right now, they're all on lockdown. They're all getting ready for the game. Like, Patrick Mahomes on Monday night at media night looked as annoyed as I've ever seen him before, like annoyed in a good way. Like, I don't have time for this. I'm ready to go play a football game. I'm ready to kick your ass. And he looked so put off and aggravated. And I said to a couple of people in the organization, I said, he looks dialed in. And I had one person tell me, they go, you don't know the half of how dialed this man is for this football game.
Well, Bob, that leads me into a question, though, because I heard some of the questions that were being asked at media night. I think it was Monday night, if I'm not mistaken. Do they need to put a time limit on this? Because some of these questions are getting really, really dumb.
It's making everybody look bad, quite frankly, Bob.
Well, that's what Media Night is all about. It's a bleep show, and they're there to ask the dumbest questions they can to get clicks, right? Their content farming is what they do now. They know if they put it up on Twitter, people are going to click on it, they're going to get likes, they're going to get love, and they're going to feel self-important. So they show up to these things, and they do. They try to ask the dumbest questions to get the answers that are going to get people to click and like them and become their friends in fantasy land. So that's what this media whole thing has become. And Todd, Scott, there is a time limit on it. It's 60 minutes. They talk for an hour at those podiums.
Well, they need to shorten it to 30.
I agree. You're telling me, man. I didn't talk to one player the entire time. I was doing other things. Hey. So I'm with you. Like, I'm 100% with you. They don't need to be up there for that long, but now that's a ticketed event. The NFL's making money off of media night.
You know, in boxing, for example, it's pretty well known that the boxer never sleeps with anyone in his bed the night before a fight. Do you know if the families are with the football players in the hotel?
Yeah, they are. I mean, they got down here. Some family members arrived on Wednesday. There's more planes. A family and personnel coming down today that are going to be here getting into town. So, yeah, they'll be with them. Most of the team and everybody flew down early, and the wives and family members started to arrive Wednesday and Thursday.
What's your prediction for the game? I know you always predict ridiculously wild.
Right, 35-0. I've been predicting for every game for the last 5 years, and it's never come true. So 35-0, Chiefs, let's go!
Hey, I love that it's festive. Are the Eagles fans behaving? Did you see the billboard back here that says call this number for a Chiefs pep rally? And it diverts you to the Fly Eagle Fly fight song.
They can't even spell their team name. They tried to talk so much smack all week, and I just spell their name wrong, and they look at me and they go, you win. E-G-L-S-E-S, Eagles. Right?
That's about right, Bob.
You know, you had a great point. At this game, the two greatest quarterbacks in NFL history will be in the same building, one calling it, one playing it. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and I'm hoping, and Tom Brady has a real opportunity in this game, if you ask me, because I believe once the Chiefs win and Patrick's won three in a row, he becomes the greatest quarterback of all time. I've gotten so much pushback all week long. Tom Brady has the opportunity to say in this game when the Chiefs win, hey, Patrick Mahomes, you've done something I couldn't do. You're the greatest of all time. Tom has the opportunity to pass that torch. Will he? I don't know.
I don't think he will.
He should.
Well, what he should.
He never won three in a row.
No, but Patrick hasn't won seven.
I know, but Bill Russell won like 11 rings. Do you consider him the greatest NBA player of all time?
No.
No, exactly. So.
What is going on behind you?
That's the sounds and the flavor
everybody's
of bourbon.
Everybody's yelling. Hey, every bar has a live band.
Hey, Bob, I was trying to explain the smell to Scott. There's really no explanation until you've been there.
I've
and
never been.
You have wafted through that. Can you try to bring us some of the smell? And I'm not talking about Café du Monde.
No. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's a hint of sativa with a smell of 3 a.m. bar with that cleaner that they use in every bar called Fabuloso and pee.
You said pee or tea?
Both, yes.
Tea. Either way, either one, yeah.
Well, Bob, you have fun down there, and let's pray for a Chiefs win.
We will be winning, and we will be bringing this victory home on Monday, guys.
35-0, huh?
35-0 Chiefs, let's go.
Have you ever put money on that number?
No, but I bet him to win every week.
Okay, I love you, man. Be good.
Yep, well, underdogfan.com, promo code KMBZ.
35-0.
Can we all collectively knock on wood?
Can you just be serious for 1 second?
Thank you.
Would you?
No.
If you were on Bourbon Street in New Orleans?
No, I would not.
Kind of like he was having a good time.
Yeah, I did. Well, he did text me when I texted him. I said, hey, can you join us at 2:15? And he wrote back, let's do it. I'm at a bar on Bourbon Street. What number do I call? I sent him the number, but I said, are you sober? And he said, yes, have not had a cocktail yet.
Yeah, it is interesting. There are parts of working these types of events that can be fun and memorable, but it is a grind unlike anything I can describe. Well, it is a grind.
But he only has to host his morning show from there. I'm assuming he's staying through Monday. He's done for the next roughly 48 hours.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to start paying attention until 5:30 on Sunday.
I think you're overstating like the amount of work that even goes into that radio show when you're down on Bourbon Street, but maybe not. I mean, the one time I worked down there, I will never forget it. I left and said I would never go back. And there was a guy down there that we were all down there with, and I had one free night. And I go down there, and he was being escorted out because he did not make it to the facilities in time. That's Bourbon Street.
Oh, hence the smell of urine.
Yeah, it's in the air.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You may be wondering why the Chiefs and the Eagles are playing in Super Bowl licks and not Super Bowl 59.
Well, it was live. Why wouldn't it be licks?
It is. It is licks. L-I-X. The NFL has not always used Arabic numerals for the Super Bowl. Or check that, Roman numerals for the Super Bowl. They did use Arabic numerals for the Super Bowl 5 times. Now, the NFL claims that they use Roman numerals for the Super Bowl number to alleviate confusion. You know, because you're playing in Super Bowl 59, which was really the Super Bowl from the 2024 season.
Ah, okay.
You see what I'm saying? And we're not playing. I'm not on the team. They're playing on February 9th, 2025 for the 2024 season. You see what I'm saying?
So I guess I'm still lost on the confusion there.
Well, I agree with you on that.
Okay.
But there were 5 Super Bowls that used Arabic numerals, which is to say the numerals that we use. Would you care to guess the 5?
1 through 5?
1.
No.
1.
Yes.
X. V.
Those are Roman numerals.
Oh, how about 0?
I heard Dan
in the newsroom.
Is 0 not a Roman numeral? It's not.
It's an Arabic numeral, but there was no Super Bowl 0.
Well, but there could be a 10. There's a 0 in 10.
That's an X.
7.
No.
3?
Yes.
Why?
The first 4 Super Bowls were Super Bowl 1. Super Bowl
2.
Super Bowl 3.
Well, you couldn't have a Super Bowl 2 in Roman numerals. It would have looked like 11 and everyone would have been confused.
Let's move on.
Well, what was the 5th one? Because I thought it was 1 through 5 and I was very close.
5 is when they switched over to the Roman numerals, to the Arabic. God dang, I'm confusing myself. 5 was when they switched over to Roman numerals.
You know, you said in the newsroom earlier that you feel like you get dumber by the day. And I'm going to steal that from you right now.
Okay, 1 through 4, they used Arabic numerals.
Okay, what was the 5th one?
Super Bowl 5 is when they switched over to Roman numerals. The only one where they used Arabic numerals again was Super Bowl 50, because otherwise it would have just been Super Bowl L.
Okay.
Oh, as in loser, and like the Eagles?
They thought that would look dumb, so they made Super Bowl 50 Super Bowl 5-0.
Okay, I don't think anybody really pays that much attention to it.
What? That's why I was so confused, Sam.
But it is very interesting.
I found that story fascinating when I read it this morning.
I'm confused why V was when they decided to switch over to Roman numerals.
Probably because it looks cooler, would be my guess.
All right.
And they retroactively made Super Bowls 1, 2, 3, and 4 Roman numerals.
Okay, but 2 still looks like 11.
Okay.
Sorry, it does.
Super Bowl L.
Loser. This story from KMBC Channel 9. Apparently, there's a somewhere around here is an Alexander Majors House Museum.
Okay.
Okay. And I encourage you to look this up on KMBC.com, and you be the judge. Alexander Majors was a very well-known business tycoon, co-founder of the Pony Express in the 1800s.
Okay.
He has a house that he once lived in. Once lived in, that is now a museum to him and his business acumen.
Oh, you pass it all the time. It's the one on State Line Road. It looks very out of place because it was there originally and everything grew around it. Like, I don't know, super malls and Targets and...
The big open field right there at 83rd and State Line.
Yeah, it's 82nd-ish, but yeah.
And who does he look exactly like?
Let me go back and look.
Hang on. Wait. Let me just pull up a picture of him.
I would have...
Don't look at the story.
Oh, my gosh!
I knew it!
It's Travis Kelce!
It's his doppelganger.
He looks exactly like Travis Kelce.
That is correct.
How do you know it's not him?
Well, you remember he came out during that Taylor Swift concert all dressed in tuxes and tails.
Yep.
So they made fun of him on the podcast for that.
Shown him this?
Yeah, they talked about it on the New Heights podcast, and he said he would never be seen in a top hat, so there's no way that it's him. And then they reminded him that he was in a top hat on stage with Taylor Swift.
Oh my goodness, I cannot even.
They look exactly alike. You want to hear something else that's weird?
Wow, are they related?
So no, they're not. So if you guys get a chance, Google image Alexander Majors. American businessman.
I'm putting that on Facebook right now.
Alexander Majors was born on October 4th.
Okay.
Travis Kelce was born on October 5th.
Okay.
Or was he?
Has anyone talked to Donna?
They are separated by 175 years and one day.
Or are they?
Exactly.
Can someone tell me what is that house? And I am embarrassed to say I have driven by that no fewer than 1,436 times.
It houses some of the last remaining slave quarters in the entire metropolitan area.
It's on the east side of the street.
It is a museum. It is a token to token's the wrong term.
A nod. Let's just say nod.
Of the history of Kansas City prior to Kansas City.
I'll be darned. Mm-hmm. I there are a lot of museums I have not gotten around to see since I've lived here my whole life. I am putting that on the list.
They still have actual shackles from.
Oh God.
Oh really?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. That's history. Mm-hmm. We can't. I've always marveled at the fact that building remains because all around it is a gas station, a Smokes for Less, Ward Parkway Mall is right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Rockhurst is up the street.
He made his fortune through wagon train freight.
He was also the co-founder of the Pony Express. I'm assuming that's what that means. Speaking of football, Travis Kelce and the others, you know that they bonus if they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. And they bonus for certain plays and rushing yards.
Every single player through the collective bargaining agreement with the NFL, every single player on the winning Super Bowl team makes $171,000 for that game alone.
Okay.
The losing team's players, each one of them, make $96,000 each.
Well, hell, send me in, coach.
But,
I'll lose.
But there's more. If you just win your division, each player on the team gets $54,500. Oh. If you get a first-round bye, each player on the team gets $49,500.
Wow.
If you win the – keep in mind, and these add up. It's not the farthest you get, that's what you get. If you win the division and then get a first-round bye, you get roughly $105,000 combined. If you win your divisional round, $54,500. if you win the conference championship, AFC, NFC conference championship, every single player on the team gets $77,000. I was reading this story to my daughter. She comes over every Friday for pancakes and works for my house. And I was reading the story to her. And she goes, Dad, just up to the conference championship, each player makes a middle income salary for 3 hours of work.
Yeah.
I said, that's right, babe. She goes, I'm in the wrong business.
But think about all the work that led up to that work.
True.
And if you missed it, go back and look at what the NFL posted yesterday. It is childhood photos of all of these little buddies when they were 6 years old, 8 years old. There's a photo of Creed Humphrey when he's about 11 years old. And the NFL wrote, what would you give to go back in time and tell these little buddies that someday you are going to be in the biggest game of the year, not once, not twice, but three times in a row?
I'm the same height and weight as some of these guys. Where did I go wrong?
I wish we could go back to like 11-year-old Travis Kelce and say, do you know, in many, many years,
you're going to look exactly like Alexander
exactly
Majors.
Exactly like the that has the White House on the state line that you've driven by 96,000 times, Travis.
By the way, the story goes that Majors built that home on state line for a very specific reason.
To own slaves.
So that he could own slaves and graze cattle in Kansas. Own slaves in Missouri, graze cattle in Kansas.
Well, but the slaves couldn't work across state line road. Kansas was a free state.
That's the story.
Of all the people to look like, couldn't be someone on the Kansas side.
913-586-7798.
John Brown?
7798. You want to look like John Brown?
I would not. I wouldn't.
Now we're just insulting people.
We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. So I didn't get to see this because Fox 4 is trying to ruin my life this week, and they're doing Chiefs specials every night at 6:30.
Yeah.
Which replaces my favorite show, Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel ain't gonna watch itself.
No. But apparently there was some controversy this week on the Wheel of Fortune. You know, when you're ready to solve the puzzle, you have to pronounce it exactly right.
Exactly.
But even when you get all the letters up there, they always say, okay, go slow. Yep, take your time, go slow. Ryan Seacrest ruffled a few feathers this week after, I wouldn't know, after a controversial puzzle guess ruling. This week, one Wheel of Fortune player missed out on the final puzzle of the episode and a $1,000 prize after incorrectly pronouncing her puzzle guess.
Ours is
African Safari.
No, everybody
what?
Else.
What?
Brian.
African Safari.
Yes, Safari is the way we have to say that.
Okay, wait.
I just wanted to check with our judges.
Why would
sure.
she say Safari?
Brian Nelson from Longview Tech.
Because she's dumb?
I got to go with Ryan Seacrest in the rule book on this.
Now, fans of the show are furious.
No.
One person writing on Twitter, come on, Wheel of Fortune judges. I knew what she meant when she said African Safari that way.
Safari isn't a word.
Wheel of Fortune.
Ours is
African Safari.
No.
Wheel of Fortune, you suck. The woman said African Safari and was correct, but used a southern twang. This is rotten.
That's a southern twang?
No.
I'm going to the safari.
Safari is not a southern twang. As a woman who has kin
That's
in
right.
the South, it is pronounced safari. In fact, if you were southern, you would go safari. You wouldn't go safari.
Do you mind reaching out to your kinfolk and seeing what they say?
How fair is that gas station down the road? It's just up there a mile. You don't say fair. You say far. Hey,
which can
after,
describe a
after,
distance and the
yeah,
thing
after
that
work,
creates
would you
heat.
Like to meet me at a bear? I'm sorry, what? A bear? Do you mean a bar?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, start that far over there.
By the way, right before we came back from break.
You get in the car. We're going for a drive.
We were
the care.
That's a northern accent.
That's right. That's a Boston accent. Mm-hmm. Somebody get in the care. We were going through my Facebook page, and there's a picture of Bill Belichick and his stunning 24-year-old girlfriend. He is 72, by the way.
She's on fire.
She is on fire.
I saw the gold dress. It does not leave much to the imagination.
Well, it's kind of silverish, but yeah. It does not have a lot in the midsection area, and it's hiked up pretty high on that left leg.
Now, you can't see it anyway.
Now, what is he wearing on all four fingers, main fingers on his right hand?
It's covered in bling. It looks like nunchucks.
Those are Super Bowl rings. Yeah,
that look like nunchucks.
What is she wearing on her left hand?
Is that a Super Bowl ring?
That is. That's one of his Super Bowl rings.
I believe she had one on each hand.
Give it a rest.
You are very ruffled by this.
I don't like it.
I roll my eyes. You have been very vocal about your disdain for that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I think we all know what that is.
Gold digging.
But does he have a smile on his face? He doesn't look like he's having a bad time.
If you were a 72-year-old man with that gold digger, wouldn't you have a smile on your face? I'm not mad at him.
I think that the people that are probably extremely uncomfortable and angry about this are
people with young daughters,
his grandchildren who are older. Correct me if I'm wrong. Are his grandchildren older or the same age as she is?
Let me look. I'm sure they're.
Because if you were family, I think you would be like, this is embarrassing. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Go find someone in the wheelhouse of adulthood that is not, you know,
literally
a year out of college.
A year out of college at UNC.
So his daughter, Amanda, born in 1984, that would have made her.
That makes her 41.
Yeah.
17 when his girlfriend was born.
Yeah, her daughter would. Her daughter or son would be in their 20s.
So there's no way that she has grandkids that are. Or he has grandkids that are.
You would just be
older,
mortified.
But still,
if you were family, you would be mortified.
They're in the wheelhouse.
I mean, they're within 4 years.
Maybe he's just acting as a mentor.
Grandpa White.
A mentor in grooming. In what, Dan?
That's called grooming.
Stocks, bonds, finances.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. Speaking of football, when is it time for the breakdown? When is the breakdown?
Well, we missed the window. It was supposed to be just now.
I thought so.
And I totally forgot about it.
Can we just get a taste of the breakdown? I mean, we worked
so
hard.
Yes, because I've already got it loaded up and ready.
Wait a minute. The bonus hour is the next hour.
We worked
so
hard.
So we're going to do it right after the top
hard
of the
hour. On this breakdown.
Andre, and take advantage of Xavier Worthy's speed or even throw some contested balls to DeAndre Hopkins.
Look, all you need to know is 20 career playoff games. He is 17-3 with a 105.8 passer rating. Plus, you know, 3 Super Bowl MVPs. Mm. Let's let Pat be Pat.
Okay. So I failed to get it in at 2:45. We will do it when we get back. Right after the 3 o'clock news with Dan Weinbaum. That comes your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.